Romeo. Hashtag most requested live.
Hello and welcome to the DD&D podcast, Demented Dungeons and Dragons.com, where we talk about everything, including Red Towers.
Volcano is standing in the middle of a disco right now.
Yeah, I'm driving. I thought about going out tonight, but then I remember it. Oh, got a podcast.
Got a podcast. I can't go out on a date. David, Ray can't hold a monologue on his own for even 15 minutes.
Actually, it wouldn't be a date. I'd be going stag. I did have a date last night, though.
Woohoo!
Not really. I had a friend date.
Well, that's better than no date.
True that. There was a couple, one actual cute girl there, but I think she was with somebody.
Yeah, well, they're always with somebody. But sometimes they're with somebody wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, but I wasn't. Yeah. I wasn't a very good judge of that. And I'm also not one to get in between somebody's relationship.
Right.
But now, yeah, anyways, I went to a poetry reading with Jamie.
Ooh.
Jamie, Bob, Amy.
Yeah, that sounds perfectly
cool.
Boring.
Huh?
That sounds perfectly boring.
Actually, it wasn't. And we expected it to be. They're doing it again tonight, but like I said, I got a podcast.
Yep.
Otherwise, I would go back and I would go stag. Because they probably thought I wasn't available either because I was with Jamie.
Yeah. The fat girl's got him.
Not fat. Not skinny like he used to be. Yeah. Anyways, she is working on getting off of her pharmaceutical. She had a metaphysical breakthrough, and she's feeling a lot better now. And she's going to try and wing herself out the pharmaceuticals.
Yay!
I know.
Well, I don't think she's really... Oh, well, I don't know. I don't know what her attitude towards pharmaceuticals were.
Well, she always was anti, not always. She's been anti-pharmaceutical since I've known her, but not anti as I am, per se. But she's more into the metaphysical than I am.
Yeah. She definitely wasn't anti-intoxication. Just anti-really weird drugs, which is all the pharmaceutical produce, which is really weird drugs.
Oh, yeah, well, you know. He likes mushrooms. She don't smoke pot anymore, though. She quit that a while back.
Yep.
So did I. But I never tripped on mushrooms.
Morels. You asked me about morels.
Yeah, my mom got some morels from a friend at work. And I fried them up this morning. I don't know what the big fuss is. They taste like regular mushrooms to me.
Well, true, but regular mushrooms are pretty good.
Actually, I like the regular ones better.
Really? Well, the Morels is the one that people can find and they really trust. And, you know, if that's your opinion on them, then I just won't share any with you.
Well, I'll try one of yours and see if I like it better. But I cooked it in garlic and butter. It tastes like a regular mushroom.
Yeah, just a little salt. Well, yeah, you know what? You might be right. But they are a bit of a delicacy because they're hard to find, you know, and people are paying buku bucks for them. That's why I need to join. I need to join the mushroom society, the Missouri Mycological Society again, and get a hold of them and find out about that class that supposedly they have on growing morels.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, because the golden grail for the longest time. People have been trying to figure out how to do that. You know?
Oh, yeah.
So there's a guy out there that knows how to do it, and we should go learn how to do it from him and be doing it. So it's a little trickier than just growing mushrooms, that's for sure. But can't be all that much trickier.
Well, we already have a spot that they like to grow. All we
gotta do is... I've been checking it out, and... See, there's different types of morels. There's some morels that come back year after year after year after year. Apparently, they grow off of living trees. Then there's one type of morel that only shows up for 2 years. The year before the tree dies and the year after the tree dies.
Oh, okay. That's probably the kind we got.
Who knows? And then there's all sorts of other morels out there as well. Okay. So... Mostly people separate them out by, did you find the black ones or the white ones? Well, you know, among the black ones and the white ones, there's all sorts of different sizes, you know, and general shape, you know. But overall, they're the same. You cut them open, they're hollow on the inside completely, all right? You know, it's one empty compartment on the inside, and the spore surface is on the outside of the cap, and it's that got that wrinkly texture to it, all right?
Yep.
So generally speaking, that's your morel, and they're easy to identify and save, all right? Now, the exception to that is there's a red mushroom out there that looks a lot like morel. And people get away with eating it, but it's got a reddish color to it, and when you cut it open, it's hollow, but it's a whole bunch of hollow spaces, not just one.
Oh, kind of like bamboo.
Kind of like what?
Kind of like bamboo.
No, more like a sponge with oversized holes.
Okay.
I mean, sponge isn't quite right description for it. It's got more than one hollow spot inside. There we go. It might have five different hollow spaces inside it. It might have 10. I don't know. But it's more than one. It's, you know, And that one has been traced back to liver and kidney failure. It takes about 7 years.
Oh, okay.
So people eat them.
Just don't eat them for 7 years.
You know, they think they're fine. Then they start getting sick. They don't know what they got sick from. So.
Well, if you eat your sandraberries, it'd be all right.
Say what?
If you eat your sandraberries, you'll be okay, right?
Probably.
So you cook up some mushrooms that'll kill your liver for dinner, and then you eat some Shishandra berries for dessert.
Shishandra berry pudding! And everybody who eats it will say it tastes like something different. This pudding tastes like chicken. Wow, I thought it tastes like sweet and sour barbecue.
I thought it tastes like boogers.
I thought it tastes like blueberries. Nah, earwax.
Diesel fuel.
Yeah, it's not that extreme, but it has the, they call it seven taste berry because it triggers all the taste buds on your tongue. And everybody reacts to it a little bit differently. Depending on their health, you know?
I got mental health, so what does that mean?
You got what?
I have mental health. What flavor would I get?
Oh, it probably tastes a little little tropospheric.
Cool, you're looking awesome.
Yeah. So, I think Mimi used to be pregnant.
Used to be.
Yeah. I saw her. It looked like she had a major hemorrhoid problem. But then it fell away. Separate from her.
Maybe she had her kittens in the cat house.
No, because then she'd be taking care of them. Anyway, this didn't look like an afterbirth. It looked like a tube of flesh. It didn't have an eyes, nose, or a leg, and it didn't look like an afterbirth.
Maybe
it wasn't
she
just. She just gave birth to this bag of something or other, and I assume she did more than one.
Maybe she miscarried.
Yeah, but it's an awful big miscarry.
Maybe she's not getting enough nutrients.
Could be. Or maybe she's been drinking the Monsanto water. Well, I don't know.
Well, thank God it won't be Monsanto water for long.
Yeah, I hope not. I'm not sure how long that stays in the ground. All right, we got sued for saying it was biodegradable when it wasn't.
Well, every time it rains, we'll have just a little bit less, and a little bit less, and a little bit less.
True that. Oh, my.
But the mushrooms and the weeds will help dissipate it, too.
Yeah.
Because they're the first responders.
Yeah, we just don't have to, we just won't eat the amaranth over there.
No. At least not for the first couple of years.
We'll have to get the soil tested.
Yeah.
Yeah. The cats are fighting over my dirty dishes.
I can still go to the point you're reading and record it on the podcast.
That'd make for an interesting podcast.
Should I go?
I don't know. I'm not sure how well would record. If you do, I'll mute my end. And only my end. I will not try to fix it.
I'm going to fix it.
Yeah, I'll mute my mic.
The Little Mermaid, June 3rd through the 11th.
Okay.
Third for theaters.
The new Little Mermaid?
Yeah. Man, it's
repeating all of its old stuff now. It redid Pete's Dragon.
The chemtrails are affecting me today. I got something in my throat.
Oh, chemtrails?
I guess. I don't know what it is. Something in the air. It's not like I ate anything.
Yeah, you probably caught something from me over the phone.
I didn't eat anything. Damn it.
Yeah, he probably caught something from me over the phone.
It's gotta be the chemtrail.
Oh, man. I hope I find that toolbox soon.
Freaking idiot almost hit me.
And he leaves his tools all over the place.
What?
Your buddy's an idiot. He leaves his tools all over the place.
Did you find him?
No.
You idiot!
I know.
Well, the poetry reading's probably only going to be about another hour, so we'll only get an hour of it.
All right. Well, you're welcome to go there, and if they don't mind recording.
Well, they won't know, but you can text me if it's coming across the airwaves clear or not, and if it's not, I'll leave.
I'll do is I'll unmute my mic and say, I can't understand a darn thing that's being said.
Yeah, I'll be able to hear you.
I'll text you.
Yeah.
It ain't working, bro. Shut her down.
Shut her down. Evacuate. Evacuate.
Yeah. So, I was trying to do some research today on that Garden of Eden group. I sent you a clip off of one of their statements about themselves.
Oh, yeah, I haven't got a chance to check it out yet.
You what?
I had not got a chance to check it out yet.
I didn't understand a word you said, so I'm just going to read it.
Okay.
The Garden of Eden is powered by full-time volunteers who live on less than $1 per day per person. So we can dedicate close to 99% of all proceeds directly into our purpose and programs. We feed the homeless and hungry over 20,000 free meals in 2015. We share free classes, workshops, videos, and articles on conscious living, holistic health, survival, and bushcraft, wildcrafted medicine, sustainable living, conscious parenting, and more. So they sound pretty much right up our alley, but they're in Texas.
And witchcraft, that's not up our alley.
What about witchcraft? I didn't say anything about witchcraft.
Oh, I thought you said witchcraft.
I said bushcrafting and wildcrafted medicine. If I said witchcraft, I'm sorry, folks. I said it accidentally.
Yeah, I thought that's what I heard.
Now, if you thought, I'm sure somebody else will think it too.
Yeah. Couldn't crap out of your ears.
So it's good that you opened up your mouth and said something.
Something.
So I can make it clear, I said nothing about witchcraft.
Yeah, I also thought you said lovecraft.
Anyway, their website is intothegardenofeden.com.
Gotcha!
And in case I misspoke, let me say it again, very slowly. Intothegardenofeden.com. So I'm kind of curious how they go about that. I mean, they're into parenting, so that means they're into kids.
Hell no.
Hey, I know, you're anti-kid.
Not really.
You're mostly anti-New World Order telling you how to raise your kids and letting women get away with extracting funds badly while they're doing it.
To be honest, I never wanted kids. Even before I had them.
Well...
That was mostly because I didn't see this world as a world to bring children up in.
And as long as people have that attitude, they'll never will be.
Well, I was starting to see the corruption in the world at that time.
Yeah.
You know, when I was living, well, actually even before then, but... When I was a kid, you know, life was all la-di-da. But when I was a teenager, I started getting exposed to reality because, you know, I was pretty much on my own. And I was pretty much helping my mom to raise my brother. And then I was pretty much the one raising my brother. First, my dad was always in the military, you know, out in the field because he was in the military. And, so from 8 years old on, I was pretty much helping my mom raise my brother.
Right.
Probably even before then. And then after my parents divorced, when I was like 16, my mother was running around looking for love in all the wrong places.
Of course.
So I was pretty much left to take care of things. And that's when I started waking up and started seeing life for what it really is.
Starting to see America for what it really is.
Well, and Germany, and Norway, and Switzerland, and Holland.
Yeah, because the New World Order is pervasive everywhere.
Well, I mean, wow, it looks like the poetry... And his book tonight, there's a lot more people there. Yeah. Anyways, um, Yeah, anyway, so I started having to grow up early. I still ain't all that smart. You would think that I would be more on top of things. But I had to learn at an early age, and I don't know. I guess I didn't learn properly. But nonetheless, before I had kids, I had decided I didn't want kids, and then I got tricked into having them anyways.
Check out your legs crossed.
Yeah, that's what they say. All right, let's see here. 2-hour parking. Monday through Friday, 7 to 6. Okay, so I'm after 6, and I'm not Monday through Friday, so I'm good. Anyway, yeah, my oldest son's mother, she was like, oh, you don't got to wear rubber. I'm on the pill. Now she says, oh, I was never on the pill, and you knew it. I was like, oh, really? Okay, now I know. Then my...
she wanted to get...
And my first wife, which I was actually a virgin until I got with her, but we ended up splitting up because she was cuckoo and not for Cocoa Puffs. And then I got with my oldest son's mother. And then I got back with my first wife after my oldest son was born. Well, I broke up with my oldest son's mother and then found out she was pregnant after we broke up. And that was just a mess. But anyways, then I ended up getting back with my first wife. And then she got pregnant. And she supposedly couldn't have kids because she was diagnosed with endometriosis. Wrong. She had kids. She had two. Actually, she had four. But only two survived. Mine and then the guy she cheated on me with.
So.
Yeah, I never wanted kids. And I ended up getting two.
So basically,
you
have to have a firm.
Yeah, basically. And then, well.
Go through that birth control stuff and got an infertile woman pregnant.
I am actually very fertile, or at least I used to be, because now I'm a member of the Cook Club. But I made sure he clipped them, tied them, and burned them. But anyway. He wasn't going to burn them. I was like, you better burn them. I pay $1,000 a month in child support. You better burn them babies unless you want to pay my child support. And I stayed. I sat up, and I watched it. I'm like, I ain't leaving here till you burn those babies. That's how I said it, but you know what I mean. I was like, I ain't leaving till you burn them bitches. That's what I said. And so he's like, all right. I still remember the smell. Best smell I ever smelled. But anyway, I'm just playing about that part.
Well, you're lucky they didn't do it the way they do it to horses.
Rubber band. Anyways.
No, the way they do it to horses, they slit it open, and then they put this hook around the base of both of them, and the hook is hooked up to a drill. Hit it.
Yeah, it's disgusting. That's just horrible.
It's horrible.
It's horrible. So anyways, yeah, then actually I had a third, but she got pregnant, but she was on the shot. And then I found out later that if you get pregnant while on the shot, you will miscarry. She lied to me. Said that she ended up giving birth and giving her up for adoption and led me on for 2 years. Then I found out from her family that she had an abortion, which actually that wasn't true. She had a miscarriage. So it was a big drama mess. I'm just glad I ain't got to deal with that garbage anymore.
Well, Interesting. They got a big painting of a gun on their wall next to...
For you ladies listening to this podcast and all of his negativity about kids, I personally think kids are a blessing. But
I don't think they're bad. I just think that I had a bad experience.
Yeah.
Three times!
Well, Uncle Sam and other entities of that nature make having children a hazardous thing to do. All right? They turn that blessing into a curse. All right? So, if you're a lady out there who thinks children are a blessing and you do not subscribe to the New World Order,
rules, regulations, standards, codes, and guidelines,
and you actually want to do everything you can to get away from that, all right?
Call us.
Well, yeah, call us, but in particular, if you want children, call me.
Yeah, if you want more children, call David, because I don't want more. I can't have more. I won't have more.
I want to try raising the way these people over at the Into the Garden of Eden are doing it.
Do what?
Because they're into nature and into doing things right.
I'm into guiding nature.
So I want to get a hold of them and interview them and possibly go out and visit with them.
There you go. Go to Texas and recruit.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're talking about starting a Garden of Eden, too. Yeah. If that's the right mindset, maybe we can start a Garden of Eden 3 up here.
There you go. Their Garden of Eden 2 can be in Oklahoma, halfway between us, and then they can branch out to Missouri.
Yeah, I don't know where they're doing Garden of Eden 2. But it... Now, watch. I interview them, I find out. Oh, we don't believe in monogamy.
Oh, you're screwed.
I say, well, hell with that.
You'd be like, well, you might want to talk to Kano then.
We're a community raises the children.
Well, that's
now,
actually
if they're talking about survival and bushcraft and things like that, even though the pictures make them look like a bunch of hippies, they sound very conservative to me.
Well, the community should be raising the kids, but you're talking about a different kind of community.
Well, yeah, I mean, the community should be involved, but the community itself shouldn't be raising the kids.
Yeah, I guess you and I think differently. Yeah, if I had kids, again, if I had to choose and do it all over again, I would be more not like Polly so much as I would be a community. I would join a community. I'd find a woman who is part of a community or wants to be part of a community. And I would have and you know, my child be raised in the community, by the community, not just by us, you know, like the Native Americans used to do.
Yeah, not all Native Americans did that. And for the most part, it wasn't the community doing it.
You know what I mean? I mean, what we know as them doing it.
Well, I don't know, when I was up in Wisconsin, the way they described it is a lot of times the uncle would raise your son. You know, the uncle would take him off and teach him how to hunt and stuff like that and be in charge. But, you know, that's after a certain point. So... But all the same,
I'm a firm believer that the community should be raising the children, not just, you know, one, not just you.
Well, let's put it this way. I liked Mr. McKenzie across the street, and he did occasionally tell my children that they were misbehaving and whatever. But while I do feel my kids occasionally needed a belt to their behind, if ever he took a belt to their behind, they'd probably be pressing charges against me after I beat the crap out of them. There's a limit to the involvement that other people should have in your children.
Well, I agree to that.
So. Now, he had a lot of good input into how my children should behave and stuff like that, and that was good. You know? But as a parent, you should have the final say in the and take the final action. You know? When the school system was arresting my son for being late to class and giving him a criminal record.
Yeah, I don't approve of that either.
No. See, but that's a commitment to my kid, teaching him how to be a good slave, how to live in a prison system, even if he hadn't committed a crime. Yeah, and if being late for class was a crime, then sitting in the police officer's office there on the school campus for 3 hours for being 2 minutes late was an even greater crime.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Don't punish the child for being late to class by causing him to miss three classes.
Oh, yeah. My response to that is, like, if you don't want them in the school, then don't make me put them there. So.
Well, it's an authoritarianism situation. They
oh,
want
yeah.
them to respect authority.
Yeah.
And that's what they're teaching them. They're not teaching them anything else. The other stuff is just sideline stuff. The main thing is they're teaching them to be good slaves.
So, you know, in there or you've given up?
No, I had to walk back to the car and change my socks. But they were all hanging out outside. So I'm thinking now they probably are about to go back inside and do the poetry. So
right.
I'm about a block away.
Well, I got a book by John Taylor Gatto that talks about some of this stuff that you were touching on. And I'll read a section of it when the poetry is over.
All right. You'll know when I start getting there when I stop talking, you start hearing background noise.
Right. Which means I better pull up the phone.
Barely still hanging out outside, so I'm not sure what that's all about. I'm just going to go ahead and go inside and see what happens.
Go.
Hey, man, stop talking on the phone while the poetry's going on.
Okay, not the poet. All right, I'm going.
All right.
Bye.
Can we remain here in the room?
Dano, can you hear me?
Your name is Terrible Terrorist. Your name is
situation.
Up that
pod? Yeah, I guess it didn't work.
No. Does your phone have noise reduction?
No.
Mine has noise filtering and stuff like that. In a situation like that, anything that's distant, it'll try to filter it out.
Oh, okay. That's probably what it was.
If you shut off the noise reduction, you might pick it up.
Yeah. I don't know how to do that.
Yeah, well, it might not have been on. Might have just been hardware.
Right. I'm standing under a ginkgo tree.
Yay. Any fruit?
No, but it's got a buttload of leaves.
Hey.
Yeah, Jamie and I were eating them yesterday evening. Oh, wait a minute. Is this another ginkgo tree?
They tend to only plant male ginkgo trees, especially in the city.
Ah, yeah, there's
because,
another one.
Because the fruit are very messy.
Oh, okay, so they probably just planted two males.
Yep. Which means more pollen, you know, for all those pollen sufferers.
Right. Okay, it looks like there's more ginkgo trees on the block. I'm going to go scope it out.
Scope it out.
Scope, scope, scope. Yeah, I'm basically downtown, not quite Westport. It's like, okay, yeah, here's another ginkgo tree. And it looks like here's another. Interesting. Okay. It's 39th and it's almost state line. Anyways, yeah, it's a lot of hippie stuff down here.
Right.
I'm not sure if 39th and Vine is here or not, but the bookstore is at 39th and Bell, and that's where the poetry reading was. So it's too bad you guys didn't get to enjoy that because it was really cool. But oh well. The podcast comes first. And so here we are to run the day.
If they had a speaker and you could get next to the speaker, it probably would be the same as when you were doing from your computer.
Yeah, I was as close as I could get. And I was like in the third row. That was as close as I could get.
Right.
Because I didn't get there early.
Were they using a microphone?
Yeah, they were using a mic. But I just wasn't. If I would have got there sooner, I would have been able to
get closer. Well, surely they have more than one speaker around the room.
No, it's not one.
Just the one?
Yeah.
All right, well, you weren't close enough to it.
fresh ginkgo tastes almost like sour apple and clovers, but not as sour.
Okie dokie.
I'm eating one now. I'm just walking the streets. I'm a street walker. What the heck? There's a coon in the window. Somebody put a stuffed coon in the window.
Yeah,
hello.
I told you that you were out walking the street. Getting paid for it? Yep. Go, yep. They looked at me weird.
I wish I was. Hey, no, the male gigolo.
You are getting paid for it.
Do what?
You are getting paid for it.
How's that?
Knocking door to door.
Oh, right. Well, yeah, if I'm lucky.
You're a streetwalker. You get paid for it.
Yeah. Yeah, I got just one house I'm working on. It's going to pay me $2,000. It's a huge house. It's 40 squares. 4,000 square foot. That's just if I get the roof. If we get gutters and siding, it'll be even more. Oh, wait, no. We calculated in gutters. So we'll get siding, which I don't think we will, and window wraps, which we probably won't, it'll be more than $2,000. But I mostly count on the roof.
Right.
And that's just one job. This other job that I'm working on, it's going to pay about $1,000, $1,500. I forgot the square. Oh, I don't. Yeah, no, I forgot the squares on it. But I think it is, I don't know, I have to look at my paperwork. It's more than 10 squares. It's probably like maybe 20 squares. So that would pay about $1,200 or a little less. The calculation that I had originally was $1,200 that I would get. So it's got to be more than 20 squares. But nonetheless, but not by much. Then again, I actually get paid more than I was calculating. I was calculating $400 a square, and I actually get paid more, or it's actually more than $400 per square. So, but that's what we charge. Of course, we work off the insurance company proceeds, so we're actually going to get paid a little less than that. But still, so 400. She kept looking at me. She's having dinner with her son. I walked by the restaurant, and this woman kept glancing back and forth from me to her son, but she's trying to focus on her son. Trying to focus on her son. She kept looking at me.
Right. You're just too attractive.
Yeah, well, maybe not. Maybe that was scary.
Only one word to find out. Hey, baby.
Hey. Here's a bar. I can go in there. Not.
Sit next to the speaker.
Yeah. Well.
Clear. Run.
Yeah. There's another bar. Oh, no, that's not a bar. I was like, it's pretty quiet to be a bar. It's a liquor store.
Yeah, it's pretty quiet.
So, I guess I'll walk back to the car and go home. So what else are we going to talk about?
Well, let's see now. If I can find this file.
It's a sushi bar. I'll have to come back and check that out later when I got some money. Right now I'm broke.
You're broke?
Yeah. I don't even have enough to fix my pickup truck now. I'm going to have to borrow money from my mom.
Ouch.
Yeah. Hey, it's pretty painful.
Right. How soon does this company pay off on their claims?
Do what?
How quickly does this company pay off on claims that you pull in for them?
Well, basically, I just got to wait for them to get paid before I get paid, so it's going to be a week or two.
Wow.
Basically, one of my clients has already been paid. They've already got their insurance paperwork. I just got to go out and measure the house and do all the paperwork on the house, but I can't do that till next week, or actually tomorrow afternoon. No, Monday afternoon. I got another adjuster's appointment Monday morning. So I got another one lined up or lining up. Yeah, I lost most of my customers that I had before at the other company. Only one followed me. And they're not 100% on board. They're still 90% on board, but they're not 100%. The rest of them fell through the cracks. I thought I would get at least half of them, but oh well. This one, he just never returned my phone calls. He's like just not returning my phone calls. Actually, I got a couple of them like that. So I don't know what's up with that. I was calling him once a week. Now I'm going to move him to the once a month folder. Just wait till next month to call him. See what they want to do. See where they are. See if they want me to quit calling them or not. And yeah. In the meantime, I'll just work on new clients. But yeah. So I got three.
Here's the thing by John Taylor Gatto that I said I'd read part of. Right? And it's John Taylor Gatto, Dumbing Down, New Society, 1992. The Seven Lesson School Teacher. Okay? So I'm going to read the first lesson he taught kids. Okay, so number one. Call me Mr. Gatto, please. 26 years ago, having nothing better to do with myself at the time, I tried my hand at school teaching. The license I have certifies that I am an instructor in English language and English literature, but that isn't what I do at all. I don't teach English. I teach school. I win awards doing it. Teaching means different things in different places, but seven lessons are universally taught from Harlem to Hollywood Hills. They constitute a national curriculum you pay for in more ways than you can imagine. So you might as well know what it is. You are at liberty, of course, to regard these lessons any way you like. But believe me when I say I intend no irony in this presentation. These are the things I teach. These are the things you pay me to teach. Make of them what you will. Number one, confusion. A lady named Kathy wrote this to me from Du Bois, Indiana, the other day. What big ideas are important to little kids? Well, the biggest idea I think they need is that what they are learning isn't idiosyncratic, that there is some system to it all, and it's not just raining down on them as they helplessly absorb. That's the task, to understand and to make coherent. Kathy is wrong. The first lesson I teach is confusion. Everything I teach is out of context. I teach the unrelating of everything. I teach disconnections. I teach too much. The orbiting of the planets, the law of large numbers, slavery, adjectives, architectural building, dance gymnastics, choral singing, assemblies, surprise guests, fire drills, computer languages, parents' rights, staff development days, pull-out programs, guidance with strangers my students may never see again, standardized tests, age segregation,
unlike anything seen in the outside world. What do any of these things have to do with each other? Even the best schools, and even in the best schools, a close examination of curriculum and its sequences turns up a lack of coherence, full of internal contradictions. Fortunately, the children have no word to define the panic and the anger they feel at constant violations of natural order and sequence, fobbed off on them as quality education. The logic of the school mind is that it is better to leave school with a toolkit of superficial jargon derived from economics, sociology, natural science, and so on, than with one genuine enthusiasm. But quality in education entails learning about something in depth. Confusion is thrust upon kids by too many strange adults, each working alone with only the thinnest relationship to each other, pretending, for the most part, to an expertise they do not possess, meaning not disconnected facts. Meaning, not disconnected facts, is what sane human beings seek. And education is a set of codes for processing raw data into meaning. Behind the patchwork quilt of school sequences and school obsession with facts and theories, the age-old human search for meaning lies well concealed. It is harder to see in elementary school, where the hierarchy of school experience seems to make better sense because the good-natured, simple relationship between let's do this and let's do that is just assumed to mean something, and the clientele is not yet consciously, has not yet consciously discerned how little substance is behind the play and pretense. Think of the great natural sequences, like learning to walk and learning to talk, the progression from light, from sunrise to sunset, the ancient procedures of a farmer, a smithy, or a shoemaker, or the preparation of a Thanksgiving feast. All of the parts are in perfect harmony with each other. Each action justifies itself and illuminates the past and the future. School sequences aren't like that. Not a single class, and not among the total menu of daily classes. School sequences are crazy. There is no particular reason for any of them. Nothing that bears close scrutiny. Few teachers would dare to teach the tools whereby dogmas of the school or the teacher could be criticized, since everything must be accepted. School subjects are learned, if they can be learned, like children learn the catechism or memorize the 39 articles of Anglicism. I teach the unrelating of everything. An infinite fragmentation, the opposite of coherent. What I do is more related to television programming than to making a scheme of order. In a world where home is only a ghost because both parents work or because of too many moves or too many job changes or too much ambition or because something else has left everybody too confused to maintain a family relation, I teach you how to accept confusion as your destiny. It's the first lesson I teach. All right, I'll quit there. But he goes on to describe the next six things he teach, and none of them are really good. You still there?
None of them are any good?
No, none of them are really any good.
Nice.
Yeah, he meant it. He teaches confusion. That's the first lesson he teaches.
So that's what he's saying that they all teach?
Yeah, he says all the schools teach it. The best schools, the worst schools, they all teach confusion. I'll give you the section titles. The next thing he teaches is class position. And then number three is indifference.
So, do the teachers consciously know this, or do they learn this as they're going?
Well, I suspect most teachers unconsciously do all this stuff. He just had to be one of those teachers that was awake. Sort of like the movie, They Live, I think was the name of the movie. Where the guy put on the sunglasses and all of a sudden he could read all the billboards and see what they really said.
So, it's kind of like everything else. Military, police force, anything that has to do with government. They get medical, for that matter. They get involved for a purpose, a cause. They think they're going to be helping mankind. They do it for good reasons. A lot of them stay ignorant through the whole process, and some of them wake up.
Yeah, like Sheriff Mack. Sheriff Mack woke up.
Right. So some of them wake up in the process, and they just wake up in different times throughout, or different levels. But once they do wake up, then they start trying to educate and wake up the others.
Yeah.
And usually they're not.
Ron Paul. And for the most part, Ron Paul was speaking to the sleeping masses. Most of his followers were asleep.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't say most of his followers were asleep, but I'd say a lot of them were. I mean,
yeah.
They were awake, they just weren't awake enough. A lot of them.
I'm sure they all did their tax returns and they all got their tax deduction on their interest payments for their homes. And if anybody suggested that interest payment should not be a tax deduction anymore, they would have thrown a fit.
Well.
Don't take away my tax deduction.
I think
if we don't take away yours, then we can't take away theirs. We have to take them all away.
Yeah, I think a lot of them were like me. They do it because they don't really know any other. They don't really have any solutions. They know the truth. They just don't know what to do about it. Or they feel like there's nothing they can do about it. Or they're trapped and they know it and they don't. They just haven't figured out how to untrap themselves.
All right. Well, I'll read the other titles. The fourth one was emotional dependency. All right. The fifth lesson is intellectual dependency.
I think I have a little bit of both of those.
Emotional and intellectual? No, you argue with me enough. You're intellectually independent.
Okay.
Cool. Provisional self-esteem.
Yeah, I don't have any self-esteem.
Yeah, provisional self-esteem is basically you're dependent on others for your self-esteem. You can't. The seventh one he teaches is one can't fight. You can't get away with anything.
Yeah, I'm dependent on others for my self-esteem.
Yeah.
I'm actually more dependent on cats for my self-esteem.
You're cat dependent.
I'm cat dependent. Hello, Muffy.
Intellectual arguments as well.
My what?
With your intellectual dependency as well, I think they help you there.
Yeah. I'm the crazy cat man. Catman! If I was a superhero, that would be my name. I am the Catman! I am a pit bull!
Yeah. Whatever that means.
Whatever that means. Yeah, I got rid of the stink in the refrigerator. Now it doesn't smell like something's dying in there.
It smells like something that's dead.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not there.
It was the broccoli that I bought and forgot about because I stuck it in the broccoli drawer.
Right.
You know, I don't know what the heck they created that drawer for. Everything you stick in those stupid drawers, you forget about.
Well, you know, that's because, you know, one of our presidents didn't like broccoli.
So I always try to put stuff in those drawers that you can forget about and not worry about it.
Right.
I try to anyways. Not always works. But that was the only drawer that was empty. Still is now. Because all the produce that I put in there rotted.
Oops. Liquefied?
Not quite. But.
Yeah, when they liquefy, it's really messy.
Yeah, so I put the broccoli in cooler that I'm now using for flower bed. I found it on the side of the road. It's not worth using. So I drilled some holes in it, and now it's a flower pot.
Cool.
But anyway, so I put some paper in the bottom of it, and then I put the broccoli in there. Then I put some dirt over it, and then I planted the three bell peppers that was also in the drawer with the broccoli. So maybe they'll grow.
Right.
And if they don't, I'll just plant some more. I'll go get some seeds and plant some.
Yep.
I got baby tomatoes coming up.
Woohoo.
Yeah. I'm looking at maybe getting a landscaping job here in town as my backup.
There you go.
Yeah, start learning some landscaping and whatnot, and then next year try to get a landscaping job closer to home, and also maybe do the roofing thing closer to home too. Then on days that days that I'm not doing one, I'll do the other.
Righto.
And then, but the roofing job I'll be in sales, and the landscaping job I'll be in labor. And then when I get closer to home, I can take all the stuff home.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and roofing at that too. All the roofing scraps I could take home. We can use it for our driveway.
Yeah, sort of.
Well, we're not going to be using a lot, so it's not going to hurt the land.
That's
so
not my thoughts. Actually, that's a pretty good idea, but you got to make sure you get all the roofing tax out.
Oh, yeah. No, this will be scraps from. Well, actually, yeah, we could do that too. We could just, you know, maybe have a spot where we, you know, maybe build up some concrete forms, and we have all of that stuff dumped into the concrete form so the nails don't come outside of the concrete form. And then we can just kind of pick through them when we have time and separate them. And then that way all the nails stay inside the concrete form until we take them out.
Yeah, because they do make, I mean, if you got a gravel road and you put those roofing, the shingles, the tar shingles on your gravel road, it'll drive that tar down into the gravel and it'll turn it into basically a blacktop road.
Exactly.
It's, you know, it's a good idea, but you got to make sure you get all those roofing nails.
Right. Of course, we could dump it in the center of the property where we know we're not going to be driving. And then the nails, well, the nails are not going to break down because they're, what are they, galvanized. So that's not really going to work either. Well, they do break down over time, but it takes a long time for them to break down.
Yeah.
And go back to the earth. So, yeah, we would want them in a specific spot to where we wouldn't have to worry about nails. And we would want it protected in a concrete barrier. So I'll have to work on that. But what I was actually thinking was scraps from installation. Because there's not going to be nails in the scraps of the installation.
Okay. What are we going to do with all the fiberglass insulation?
Huh?
What are we going to do with all the insulation?
I didn't say insulation. I said installation.
Oh, installation. Okay.
Right. The shingles from the installation. But if I'm on the job, you know, supervising the job while they're working, I could be picking up shingles and throwing them in the back of my pickup truck, you know, scraps. And I could be working on separating nails on the site. So I won't take all of the shingles, but I'll be taking some of them. Then I'll pick up a truckload of shingles, scraps, that I'll bring back to the land and just throw them in the road. A little bit here and a little bit there, and I'll get paid for it.
Well, there you go.
Boom, sucker! But if I get the training up here, then I can go down there and do that next year. And that's why I'm trying to stick this out. Because, I don't know, today I was kind of depressed. And maybe it's just because Moon's in Pisces right now, but I don't know. Yesterday and today, I don't know. I just couldn't get motivated. And I didn't even know Moon was in Pisces till last night because Jamie was talking. Jamie was talking about it. But yeah, yesterday and today I just could not get motivated. I was like depressed. And I assume it had something to do with the moon in Pisces. How are you acting and feeling the last 2 days?
I was pretty lazy this morning, but I finally got out and started doing stuff.
What about yesterday?
Yesterday was Friday.
Yeah.
I was out there working in the field and such, trying to. It was wet. So, I don't know. It was a pretty messed up day, but I don't know. Maybe that's when I lost my toolbox.
Yeah. Well, the moon is still in Pisces. It's at 17 degrees right now. But then again, it is, no, it's not at 17 degrees right now. It's 17 degrees somewhere, wherever the UT time zone is. Oh, Greenwich, England. So in England, it is 2:25 a.m., and the moon is at 17 degrees. So it's probably at 16 degrees right now. We're halfway through. It'll probably be completed. It takes about 2 days. So the moon actually started going into Pisces last night. So we got another day of moon in Pisces.
Right.
So we'll see how I feel tomorrow. But yesterday I was pretty motivated in the morning. I was at the, I think I had an appointment. Yeah, I had an appointment in the morning, but it got canceled, an adjuster's appointment. And so then I went to the office, and I sat down with the boss, and we went over measurements, because I measured the roof of this house. And we put together an estimate for the insurance company, because we're having to do a re-inspect. And then he's like, "Did you get these measurements?" And I'm like, "Ah, crap, no." "Did you get these measurements?" "Ah, crap, no." "Did you get these measurements?" "Ah, crap, no." "Why?" And then he's like, "Why?" And I'm like, "I don't know." He's like, "Yeah, you do." I'm like, "No, I don't. I just forgot. I didn't think about it, you know?" So, anyway, so I had to, so he helped me draw up the deal to submit to the insurance company. And then we had to find the fax number for the insurance company, which we didn't have that on file. So I had to figure out. Then he ran out to go do another deal that was important. So I sat there at the office for like an hour, maybe 2 hours, trying to get the stupid fax to go through, and it never went through. So then I had to call them and get an email address. And then I had to figure out how to email it, scan everything in a PDF and email it. It's crazy. So by the time I got done with that, I was kind of already starting to get exhausted because I was up at 6 o'clock in the morning and I'm not used to getting up at 6 a.m. anymore.
Right.
And so I went to Independence to work. By then I was exhausted. So I laid down for a power nap. And I slept for 3 to 4 hours. And then I went to...
I did something like that Friday.
Then I called it quits early so that I can go to the poetry reading with Jamie. So yesterday was... It wasn't totally unproductive because I was able to sit down and learn some stuff with my boss.
I woke up early and then... I ended up taking a nap for an hour.
before I went out and did other things.
Yeah.
I did the cement. I remember to do the cement yesterday. Mostly because it's raining.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was like, put it in. I forgot to check it today, though. I wanted to see how it came out. Because with the rain and everything, I was curious how much of it washed away. If it stayed flat or became flat.
Yeah. It's aroma time.
Aroma time.
Yeah.
Hey, just curious, how do you spell entrepreneur? Don't look it up. Just try to spell it.
Entrepreneur. I know it starts with an E, probably E.
Damn.
What?
I was trying to spell with an A-U or an O yesterday, and I just couldn't come up with it. And it's like, I ended up having to look it up.
Oh, well, I am an entrepreneur, so that's the only reason why I know how to spell it. But I used to misspell it all the time when I first started trying to spell it.
Well, there's lots of entrepreneurs out there that don't even know they are and couldn't possibly spell it. You're talking to one. Oh, man.
You don't even know how to spell your last name.
I don't have a last name.
Exactly.
Yep, yep.
It was supposed to be funny.
Yep. I'm a straight man. You got to do your own laughing.
Are you straight or gay? I'm a little bit of both.
Yeah, that's not what I meant.
No, but at the poetry reading yesterday, this guy was talking about, and they weren't really poems. They're more like, I don't know, people's literature. But anyways, he was saying that something in his literature about something, and then he said, the guy asked him if he was gay or straight, and he goes, a little bit of both.
He's happy with a crooked sense of humor?
I thought it was funny. Anyways. It took me a minute to figure that one out. Because I just thought it was funny. I was like, oh yeah, I'm going to use that. And then I thought, wait a minute. No, I'm not.
Yeah.
Because a little bit of both would mean bisexual.
Well, sometimes.
Exactly. And I'm not that.
Yipper, yipper.
One way and not the other. I'm drinking my lime-flavored high-fructose corn syrup.
Woohoo!
Oh, yeah. We got to do something.
And that is?
Un momento, por favor.
On. Paul. Revolution.
That, too.
Oh. Sorry, I thought that's what it was.
Na 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 na. Are you ready, kid?
Let's hear it.
Aye, aye, Captain.
Oh, no. Really?
Demented Dungeons and Dragons disclaimer. Asterisk leaving notice asterisk. This podcast is for educational and / or entertainment purposes only. Our opinions and religious beliefs are our own. Most of this is all hearsay evidence and is not admissible in court. Our first-hand knowledge is your hearsay evidence, and you should always go and do your own homework. We are not necessarily encouraging you to overthrow any tyrannical de facto governments, medical establishments, fast food franchises, any religious or non-religious 501c3s or anything of that matter. We do encourage you not to feed the beast. We do encourage you to love your neighbor, your community, and your homeland. We do encourage you to do what is right, when it is right, because it is right. We do encourage you to protect your de jure government, your sovereignty, your freedoms, and your liberty, and those same freedoms and liberties for your neighbor, your community, your people, and your homeland. The Lord gave you free will. Please use it wisely. Pray it forward. Pray for others as you would like them to pray for you. Pray on others as you would want them to pray on you. Love others as you would want them to love you. Please read 1 Corinthians 13. We practice God's medicine, not man's medicines. Any nutritional statements heard on this podcast is just our research and / or experience. Most of them may not be accepted by the FDA. Under the New World Order rules, regulations, standards, codes, and guidelines, we are not allowed to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any diseases. But we cannot cure you, nor can your doctor. Only you can heal yourself. Disease is a result of a nutritional deficient environment. Feed your body right, and your body will cure itself. Man and / or other animals, we are not man animals. This podcast is not made for animals. This podcast is only for certain humans made in God's image, endowed by God with certain inalienable rights. If you are an animal, this podcast isn't necessarily for you. Please tell your human about us.
Yeah, please tell your human about us.
Yeah. What was that hypocrisy all about? Oh.
Did my mom leave the oven on? Holy cow, she left the stove on. What is wrong with that woman?
Trying to cook a holy cow.
Good thing she didn't melt the bowl. She melted the, I walked by the stove a minute ago and I thought it felt warm over here. I was like, what in the world? I thought, nah. And then, sure enough, the burner was on. I don't know how long. She went to work at 2 o'clock. Anyway, okay, Ron Paul.
Yeah, dissing your mom on the phone, on the podcast. Shame on you.
What's the matter with that woman? Is she losing her mind? She probably is. I love her to death, but she's not all there in the head. But then again, neither am I.
In the who, what, where, when?
Monday, April 17th. I wanted to say I recently took a step closer to becoming law when it was favorably reported by the House Committee on Oversight and Government Reform. This means the House could vote on the bill at any time. The bill passed by voice vote without any objections, although the Fed defenders did launch hysterical attacks on the bill during the debate as well as at a hearing on the bill the previous week. One representative claimed that auditing the Fed would result in rising interest rates, a stock market crash, a decline in the dollar's value, and a complete loss of confidence in the U.S. economy. Those who understand economics knows that all of this is actually what awaits America unless we change our monetary policy. Passing the audit bill is the first vital step in that process, since an audit can provide Congress a roadmap to changing the fiat currency system. Another charge leveled by the Fed's defender is that subjecting the Fed to an audit would make the Fed subject to political pressure. There are two problems with this argument. First, nothing in the audit bill gives Congress or the President any new authority to interfere in the Federal Reserve's operations. Second, and most importantly, the Federal Reserve has a long history of giving in to presidential pressure for an accommodative monetary policy. The most notorious example of Fed chairman tailoring monetary policy to fit the demands of the president is Nixon-era Federal Reserve Chair Arthur Burns. Burns and Nixon made an extreme example. After all, no other president was caught on tape joking with the Fed chairman about Fed independence, but every president has tried to influence the Fed with varying degrees of success. For instance, Lyndon Johnson summoned the Fed chair to the White House to berate him for not tailoring monetary policy to support Johnson's guns and butter policies. Federal Reserve chairmen have also used their power to shape presidential economic policy. According to Maestro, Bob Woodward's biography of Alan Greenspan, Bill Clinton once told Al Gore that Greenspan was a man we can deal with, while Treasury Secretary Lloyd Bentsen claimed that the Clinton administration and Greenspan Fed had a gentleman's agreement regarding the Fed's support for the administration's economic policies. The Federal Reserve has also worked to influence the legislative branch. In the 1970s, the Fed organized a campaign by major banks and financial institutions to defeat a prior audit bill. The banks and other institutions who worked to keep the Fed's operation a secret are not only under the Fed's regulatory jurisdiction, but are some of the major beneficiaries of the current monetary system. There can be no doubt that as the audit bill advances through the legislative process, the Fed and its allies will ramp up both public and behind-the-scenes efforts to kill the bill. Can anyone dismiss the possibility that Janet Yellen will attempt to persuade Donald Trump to drop his support for audit the Fed in exchange for an accommodative monetary policy that supports the administration's proposed spending on overseas militarism and domestic infrastructure? While auditing the Fed is supported by the vast majority of Americans, it is opposed by powerful members of the financial elite and the deep state. Therefore, those of us seeking to change our national monetary policy must redouble our efforts to force Congress to put America on a path to liberty, peace, and prosperity by auditing, then ending the Fed. Thanks for calling this update. A new update is placed on this number, 888-322-1414, every Sunday. The written...
To repeat the announcement, press 1.
Press 1!
2!
To repeat the announcement, press 1.
9.
To repeat the announcement, press 1.
7.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was focusing on pouring coconut oil.
Yours is liquid?
Yeah, since my mom left the stove on all day.
Yeah, mine froze solid.
Yeah, I poured some of it in a mason jar. I think it's a 32-ounce mason jar. I figure I'd put it someplace else and let it hard until necessary, and then I can move it over here towards the stove where it can start liquefying.
Yep. But, yeah, whatever you do, don't put it in boiling water in order to thaw it out, because it'll crack your mason jar.
Ah, well, with coconut oil, you don't have to worry about that anyway.
Well, you need to heat it up in order to get it sometimes, but...
Yeah, but you don't need to worry about putting it in that much heat.
Yeah, well, I
think
once I got...
Hold it in your hand. Hold it in your hand and melt it.
Yeah, melt at 70 degrees, I know.
Put it in your pocket. Just don't put it in your pants.
Yeah, that'd be a greasy mess.
All right, so I need another mason jar. Oh, where are the mason jars? Oh, where can they be?
Dixon? They're all in the line.
We got a whole bunch down home. Sweet Home Alabama.
Yeah, they're at Mason Dixon.
Yeah. Hey, falling apart. I think I killed my rat. Did I tell you about the rat?
No.
The dirty rat? Yeah, I heard some shuffling around in the kitchen the other week. And I knew it was a mouse or something. And I didn't know it was a rat. This freaking thing was huge. It was in the cabinet. And it was hiding behind these one thing. And so I was like, I woke my mom up to help me because I knew I couldn't do this on my own, or I didn't think I could do this on my own. So the rat was coming in one area. So I had a feeling it was going to go out that same area. Not to mention it was facing that area. It was getting ready to run, you know. So I had this gallon whatchamacallit thingy with a handle, a gallon pitcher with a handle over by where I knew he was going to go out. And so I had my mom, you know, I pointed, I wanted my mom to see it for whatever reason. And to help me. So she was like, oh my gosh, you know. And so when she moved the thing out of the way that it was hiding behind, it bolted. And it jumped over. I tried to catch it in the in the gallon pitcher, but it jumped around it, scurried across the counter, flew behind the refrigerator, and went to its hiding spot. It was fast. And, by the time I realized that it did not get in the pitcher, it was halfway across the counter. There was no way I was going to catch it. So I was like, screw this. And I went and bought two rat traps and put poison all over the place. The rat has not been back.
Poison kitchen.
Yeah. The rat has not been back. Probably neither has any other mice. But I bought those prior to seeing the rat. I thought we just had mice, right? Because there's mouse droppings here and there.
Mm-hmm.
Which we probably had both. But anyways. But the mouse traps that I bought were so small, it's no wonder we weren't catching it, because he wouldn't even fit his head, let alone the rest of his body.
Because these are those little ones that they go inside. And
oh, yeah.
Trap them. Well, anyways. And then I bought these, like, whatchamacallit thingies that send off a radio frequency that's supposed to scare off the mice. Yeah. Well, anyways, I bought some of those. And then I thought, they're not working because the rats, you know. But I guess they don't work on rats. They only work on mice.
Well, they'll work on rats if they really work.
Well, apparently they don't work.
Well, it depends on which ones you get. There are some that do work. Do you want me to identify them for you? Just plug them in, I'll tell you.
Okay.
Like, yeah, that one's loud.
Well,
cut it off.
Can you hear them over phones?
Probably not. The phone would have to be able to hear it.
Oh, okay. Because I'm standing right next to one right now.
You got plugged in?
Yeah.
I don't hear a thing.
I don't put the phone next to it. Can you hear it now?
Nope.
Yeah, either it won't transmit over the phone or it won't work. What?
Yes. The microphone's not picking it up. That depends on the sensitivity of the microphone. If the microphone does not pick up that frequency, doesn't matter how good it is, I wouldn't hear it.
Because you can't hear. You need to clean the crap out of your ears.
What?
Yeah.
Hold on. Let me get a Q-tip. I can't hear you.
Yeah. I can't believe I missed the poetry reading because of you.
Because of me?
Just kidding. I probably should have never went, but I thought I could get it. I did record part of it last night, so I hadn't got a chance to listen to it. If it came through okay, I'll put it on the podcast after this. I'll put what came through pretty good on the podcast. But the best part, my favorite part of the whole night, for some reason it didn't get recorded. This one guy had a really good, I wouldn't call it a poem. I wouldn't call hardly any of it poetry. But anyways, this guy wrote this one, whatever you want to call it. We'll call it poetry because that's what they were calling it. On flashcards. And, so he wrote these phrases on different flashcards. And so he would shuffle them every single time. So every time he read this poem, or whatever you want to call it, it would be different. I thought that was freaking awesome. And I didn't record it. I thought I was recording it, but I didn't. And I was like, ah! It was so amazing. I was like, I'm still doing that.
He's stealing his ideas.
Well, there are no real original ideas. I think I've actually seen somebody do that before, but it didn't sink in until he did it.
I hear you.
But he probably got the idea from somebody else. But I'm not stealing his poetry.
As long as
I'll be writing my own. What?
As long as the phrases were his own.
Right, exactly.
It's like writing haiku. Everybody who writes haiku is stealing the idea of haiku.
Well, yes, it's like a poem. Somebody had the original idea of a poem, but nobody else after him is has the original idea of writing a poem. You know, it's like writing a comic book. Somebody, it was an original idea. Now it's no longer original. Is there a Catman comic character?
I don't know.
I know there's a Catwoman.
I have no idea.
Catman! Catman. Google says there is a Catman.
There's a Catman and a Man-Bat.
Interesting. There's not a lot on the Catman, though. There's only one YouTube video. No, two YouTube videos, three, no, that's Batman, although it kind of looks like Catman. Catman looks a lot like Batman.
Meow, 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 I can't say it.
You idiot!
Catman!
You're retarded.
I couldn't say it. Matman. Yeah, is that your recording of the poetry?
Oh, okay, it's just music, and they're doing a slideshow from Catman comic books, comics. I would like it. Why not? The music's not bad. I'll add it to my playlist. Kano's Music Mix. Wait a minute. What's this? History of LGBT characters at DC.
Okay.
Interesting. Oh, here we go. Batman versus Catman.
So I'll know who to avoid now.
Hang on. Here we go. it looks like Batman made Catman. What?
Really? I was a cat? Like a little house cat?
The diamond has the power to bring feline-related artifacts to life and turn humans into cats. Who knows what else it's capable of?
Was I cute?
I was able to develop an antidote. It won't prevent us from being turned into cats, but it should reverse the loss of the diamond within a few seconds.
So why are we at the zoo?
I found particles in my cable to turn back to a particular concrete used here.
I guess
oh, there's
the cat
man.
Cool too, huh?
Yes, my furry feline friends, your day has finally come. Soon the whole city will be your millfold.
The only thing you'll be lapping up is a hot bowl of justice, Captain.
What do you know? It was him.
The dynamic duo! I thought I dealt with you back at the museum. You must have as many lives as these cats.
What's your game, Catman?
Oh, I'm purely in it for the kitties. They've been enslaved by humanity far too long, forced to sleep on couches and squat in litter boxes instead of running free. It's time they take their city back. Of course, if the resulting chaos allows me to loot the city for a few $1 million, even better.
Big surprise. It always comes down to money with you.
It does make the world go round, Batman. But I'm afraid this is the last stop for you and your chirpy companion.
That's supposed to be a Robin joke?
It's time for a beating, my curious companions. Sharpen those teeth. We're dining on heroes tonight.
Interesting.
Chitty, chitty, chitty. Be my furry friend. Tonight we...
What are you doing?
This is something the kids used to watch.
Get off me! Time to...
Okay. What game is this? I'm going to have to install it on my phone.
Okay.
Batman the Brave and Bold.
Oh.
Video game.
Well, Batman the Brave and Bold was a cartoon series for the longest time.
Yeah, let's see if I can get that app. Batman! Did we talk about Map Your Empire on the last podcast?
No, but we did talk about it. So we should probably talk about it here.
Oh, we were talking about it the other night. Red Towers and Map Your Empire.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Batman. Batman Unlimited, Subway, Batman Chase. Okay, there's a lot of Batmans. So what's it called? The
Brave and the Bold.
The Brave. And the Bold.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay, it's a TV show, but...
It was.
There's no game on the phone yet. It must be... it must be like a... I'll just have to Google it. Google. Batman the Brave and the Bold game. Google says what game is it for, though? Is it Xbox or... Brave and Bold games, blah, blah, blah. Wait a minute. Amazon, Batman. Nintendo Wii.
Nintendo Wii. I got the Wii because of the Wii Fit game.
Yep, there it is. $15.
And I gotta get a Wii.
Didn't do a damn, but it worked me.
I gotta do a Wii. I gotta get a Wii first before I can play the game.
Well, they're pretty good. My mom had a Wii. Probably still does. I think she got for the same reason. No, she got for the brain game thingy.
Yep.
Yep.
On the Wii. Wii, Wii, Wii.
You got a Mii on your Wii?
What?
Wii, you have to make a Mii.
Catman! Alright, here's another. Oh, it's just Batman. Oh, Batman, Arkham City, Catman. I don't know what that's all about. another game.
You and all your games.
Yeah, Catman is the spinoff of Batman, I guess. Because he looks just like Batman.
The spin-off.
It's Batman!
It's Batman! No, it's Catman! Oh, hey, here we go. Bad Woman versus Catman. Let's see what that's all about. It says bad woman, but it's supposed to be fat woman. It's just kind of retarded. Yeah, it's retarded. Okay, enough of that. Okay, the LGBT characters.
Hey everyone, I'm Dave Peoples, entertainment editor for The Advocate. This week marks the release of DC's series headlined by out-gay superhero Midnighter. Plus, June is LGBT Pride Month, so we figured this was the perfect time to look at the history of LGBT characters in the DC universe. Comic books mirror the world around us, so it's natural that they represent our culture's diversity in gender, race, and sexual orientation. Gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender characters have long been a part of the DC universe, but their depiction wasn't always accepted. The Comics Code Authority was established in 1954 to regulate the content of comic books. Among other restrictions, the code banned any references to homosexuality. This resulted in the absence of gay characters, stories, and themes from the majority of publishers in the comics industry for over 30 years. But DC came out of the closet in the 80s, when the gay community was making waves in popular American culture. Estranho, one of the first gay superheroes in comic book history, first appeared in 1988, characterized by a flamboyant personality and colorful outfit. In his most notable storyline, he was attacked by a vampire with AIDS called the Hemogoblin, and later was revealed to be HIV positive. In hindsight, some see Estranho as a cringeworthy stereotype, but one could argue that because it was forbidden for the character to be openly gay, the only way for a writer to communicate that a character's sexuality was anything other than straight was for him to fit into stereotypes that readers could understand. Shortly after Estranho broke down industry barriers, DC again tipped its hat to the gay community and a ripped-from-the-headline story featuring an AIDS rally in 1988, The Spectre Number 11. In the book, superheroes saved the protesters from an attack by the cult of the Blood Red Moon. And in the same year, we saw the first implicitly lesbian character at DC, who was also the first gay parent in a mainstream comic, Superman's Maggie Sawyer. In issue number 15, Maggie tells Superman her backstory. Her past involves a daughter and a failed marriage, and Maggie makes several allusions to the fact that she's a lesbian, including being confused, coming to terms with herself, and running away from who she was by marrying a man. The following year, writer John Ostrander provided a progressive take on the Catholic Church's relationship with homosexuality. In 1989, Suicide Squad number 31, Father Kramer counsels Mitch Sikorsky, the mechanic for Task Force X, and a gay father, to help him cope with an unaccepting son. DC also exposed the tragedies of gay bashing in the 1988 Hellblazer storyline, in which Constantine's friends are beaten and hospitalized by homophobes. And in a separate story, Swamp Thing number 74, the title character must rescue Constantine from a similar group of gay bashers. Additionally, John Constantine himself was revealed as bisexual in 1992's Hellblazer number 51. Later, writer Ray Fox confirmed the character's attraction to both genders in New 52 continuity 2014. In the 90s, several notable characters joined the LGBT community. Ty Piper played a gay toon as DC's first top villain in 1991. On the heroic side, Justice League America's Ice Maiden played for both teams, as confirmed, and she officially came out as bisexual in 1996. And in 1998, DC reached a makeout milestone with his first same-sex lip lock between bisexual Starman and his boyfriend Tony. A few years later, DC tackled the gay experience head-on in an eloquent, extended Green Lantern storyline written by Judd Winnick. Kyle Rayner's teenage assistant, Terry Bird, awkwardly comes out to him, and Kyle gently reassures Terry that being gay is not a choice, nor is there anything wrong with it. Shortly thereafter, Terry relays the challenge of coming out to his parents. They cried, told him it was a phase, and threatened to throw him out of the house. While the subsequent hate crime story arc is decidedly poignant and uplifting, it is perhaps also the most unsettling part of Terry's story. Terry is brutally beaten into a coma by three homophobes. Enraged, Kyle tracks down the attackers and violently confronts them. The bigots have brought to justice, and Kyle learns a valuable lesson in taking a stand against intolerance. These stories won Green Lantern the GLAAD Award for Outstanding Comic 2 years in a row. After the turn of the millennium, DC's diversity continued to expand. In 2003, Detective Renee Montoya, who later became The Question, was famously outed Gotham Central No. 6 by Two-Face. While the outing was a huge turning point for Renee, it's notable that she was a main, well-rounded character whose sexuality was a part of her story, but not her only trait. In 2006, Batwoman was established as a lesbian in 52 number 7, making her the most high-profile gay superhero at DC to date. And in 2011, DC made Batwoman the first ever lesbian hero to headline a mainstream comic series as a part of its New 52 reboot. A year and a half later, DC featured the first lesbian engagement in mass market comics history, Batwoman number 17. In October 2011, writer Gail Simone revealed online that Catman fell somewhere in the middle of the Kinsey scale, making him one of the most prominent bisexual men in DC continuity. Simone finally established Catman as bi in proper continuity in 2015's Secret Six. 2011 also saw Miguel Jose Barragan, a.k.a. Bunker, become the first openly gay teenager at DC's Teen Titans No. 3. The following year, DC launched the Earth 2 ongoing title, this time reimagining Alan Scott, the original Green Lantern, as gay. In Earth 2 No. 2, Alan shares a kiss with his boyfriend, then proposes to him on a train. Alan's fiancé is tragically killed in the same train wreck that gives Alan his powers. He is told he must use an object of importance to him to harness his power, and uses the very ring he proposed to Sam with as his new lantern ring. Sam later comes back as a windbreaker to support Alan, but that's another story. In 2013, Gail Simone broke down closet doors again in Batgirl No. 19 by introducing Barbara's roommate, Alicia Yeo, the first openly transgender character in mass-market superhero comics. And finally, the Catwoman storyline earlier this year featured Selina Kyle showing some love for the ladies with the same-sex speech. DC continues to break new ground by launching Midnighter's solo title, first DC comic headlined by a gay male superhero. Midnighter was never in the closet. He and his boyfriend Apollo were among the first openly gay characters in print back in 1998. The word gay was not explicitly used, but it was obvious. Their relationship was confirmed when Apollo kissed Midnighter on the cheek, 1999. In 2002, 2 years before Massachusetts became the first state to legalize same-sex marriage, the Authority number 29 featured the first gay wedding in a mainstream comic, Midnighter and Apollo, and they adopted a little girl named Ginny, the very same issue to boot. This brief history is by no means exhaustive, so tell us who your favorite LGBT characters are in the comics. One thing is for certain, though. The expanding roster of LGBT characters only makes the DC universe stronger and more inclusive. We hope to see more dynamic storytelling starring compelling characters from diverse backgrounds. Indeed, the future of the multiverse depends on it.
Whatever.
Our thanks to Jace Peoples from the Advocate.
No,
I got a question.
I didn't do it.
He said something about there being a comic book code.
Yeah, in the very beginning. There used to be a comic book code, but not anymore, apparently.
I was going to say, that needs to be eradicated. I mean, I may not agree with some of the agendas they're putting out via comic books, but I'm very much against...
a comic book code?
Yeah. Unless it's your own personal comic book code.
Well, yeah, I mean... yeah, I guess it was a rules, regulations, standards, codes, and guidelines thing for a while. Because, well, I mean, basically, it was, I think he said it was back in the 30s when that comic book code was about. And back then, I mean, there was a lot of codes. I mean, you couldn't show skin on TV shows or too much skin. You know, of course, you couldn't show too much skin in real life either if you was a woman. But
yeah.
It was those kinds of stuff.
And then in the 30s, there was the flappers.
The Hoovers?
Sometimes they showed more skin than they do nowadays.
Yeah, now there's a new trend where women are starting to wear burkas when they go swimming.
That's just to be silly.
Probably. I mean, that's a good way to drown.
I don't know. I've seen burkinis. It looks a lot like a. It looks a lot like a slimmed down sari.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't actually seen a burkini, so I don't know. But I heard him talking about it the other day.
Well, look them up. They look kind of fun, but I mean, you know, it's not like I don't think you'd drown swimming in one. I don't think it'd hide much if you were wearing one. Unless there's more to them than I'm aware of.
Okay.
But when I saw them, they looked more or less like a form-fitting piece of clothing that covered the whole body, including a hood that came over your head.
Yeah, basically. It's
your
basically,
face,
it's more, instead of like, well, it makes a one piece look more like a half piece.
Yeah, yeah. Some of them I saw, they were tight enough to your skin to be almost like tights, but not quite that tight. So you could swim in that.
Yeah.
You could splash around in the water and have fun.
Yeah. I can see it looking sexy on certain women and not so sexy on others.
Properly worn, it might hide some defects.
Probably.
Defects that are none of your business in the first place. Unless you're married to her, and then, of course, you're going to see them anyway, so.
Yeah, so that's like the new thing. A lot of women are starting to wear those.
Yeah, it's a solidarity thing, not really. Like I said, it's to be silly.
Yeah. Like I said, it's a fad.
All fashion is a fad.
True. I'm a fetish. At least that's what one girl told me.
You are a fetish.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know how the subject came up, but we were talking about fetishes, and she told me I was a fetish.
Funny.
So, we went down a couple rabbit holes.
Probably. I won't tell your wife.
If I had one.
How can I tell what doesn't exist?
Weekly update for Monday, April 17th. Audit to Fed recently took a step closer to becoming law when it was favorably reported by the House Committee on Oversight and Government Reform. This means the House could vote on the bill at any time. The bill passed by voice vote without any objections, although the Fed defenders did launch hysterical attacks on the bill during the debate as well as at a hearing on the bill the previous week. One representative claimed that auditing the Fed would result in rising interest rates, a stock market crash, decline in the dollar's value, and a complete loss of confidence in the U.S. economy. Those who understand economics knows that all of this is actually what awaits America unless we change our monetary policy. Passing the audit bill is the first vital step in that process, since an audit can provide Congress a roadmap to changing the fiat currency system. Another charge leveled by the Fed's defender is that subjecting the Fed to an audit would make the Fed subject to political pressure. There are two problems with this argument. First, nothing in the audit bill gives Congress or the President any new authority to interfere in the Federal Reserve's operations. Second, and most importantly, the Federal Reserve has a long history of giving in to presidential pressure for an accommodative monetary policy. The most notorious example of Fed Chairman tailoring monetary policy to fit the demands of the president is Nixon-era Federal Reserve Chair Arthur Burns. Burns and Nixon made an extreme example. After all, no other president was caught on tape joking with the Fed Chairman about Fed independence but every president has tried to influence the Fed with varying degrees of success. For instance, Lyndon Johnson summoned the Fed chair through the White House to berate him for not tailoring monetary policy to support Johnson's guns and butter policies. Federal Reserve chairmen have also used their power to shape presidential economic policy. According to Maestro, Bob Woodward's biography of Alan Greenspan, Bill Clinton once told Al Gore that Greenspan was a man we can deal with, while Treasury Secretary Lloyd Bentsen claimed that the Clinton administration and Greenspan Fed had a gentleman's agreement regarding the Fed's support for the administration's economic policies. The Federal Reserve has also worked to influence the legislative branch. In the 1970s, the Fed organized a campaign by major banks and financial institutions to defeat a prior audit bill. The banks and other institutions who worked to keep the Fed's operation a secret are not only under the Fed's regulatory jurisdiction, but are some of the major beneficiaries of the current monetary system. There can be no doubt that as the audit bill advances through the legislative process, the Fed and its allies will ramp up both public and behind-the-scenes efforts to kill the bill. Can anyone dismiss the possibility that Janet Yellen will attempt to persuade Donald Trump to drop his support for audit the Fed in exchange for an accommodative monetary policy that supports the administration's proposed spending on overseas militarism and domestic infrastructure? While auditing the Fed is supported by the vast majority of Americans, it is opposed by powerful members of the financial elite and the deep state. Therefore, those of us seeking to change our national monetary policy must redouble our efforts to force Congress to put America on a path to liberty, peace, and prosperity by auditing, then ending the Fed. Thanks for calling this update. A new update is placed on this number, 888-322-1414, every Sunday. The written...
To repeat the announcement, press 1. To repeat the announcement, press 1. To repeat the announcement, press 1.
Okay. Are you there?
Oh, I forgot to unmute myself.
Oh, I didn't know what to do there for a second. I was about to hang up and give up. Yeah, I'm actually not for auditing the Fed. I don't give a ding or diddly what they do with their funds. I want this nation to stop using it.
Declare our independence.
Yeah. Financial independence. Use gold and silver. Copper if you have to.
Well, copper would be smaller change.
Well, it says use fair weights and measures. Didn't say anything about money. Said use fair weights and measures.
You know, that's what I meant. But, I mean, right now, a penny is actually worth 3 cents. Well, 2.5 or 2 and some, whatever, because it's weight in copper. But that's if we're talking about the value of the weight in copper in monetary value. But yeah. You still there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm all about ending the Fed. Just get rid of it. But Ron Paul's basically saying we got to audit it first and then end it. He was before saying just end it, but now he's compromised and said, okay, fine. We're not going to end it. Let's audit it and then end it. Or something like that.
Something like that.
Yeah, basically baby steps. Interesting. Catman, the movie.
Neener, 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 meow, meow. You know, what kind of sound does a bat make anyway?
True. That's weird.
Absolutely.
We don't want none. No. Not by the hair of my chinny chin chin.
Not by the chin of your hairy hair hair?
Not by the chin of my hairy hair hair. Not by the chin of my hairy dairy hair.
Hairy dairy hair.
Dairy
air. Not by the cheek of my hairy dairy air.
Oh, by the way.
Oh, by the way, what?
You know you left the stove on all day?
Oh, crap. I took it off the stove, though, didn't I?
Yeah.
You're lucky your son put the fire out in time.
Huh?
I said you're lucky I put the fire out in time.
Oh, I hope this place burns down, and that way we can get money for it.
No! Well, wait till I got my laptop out of here. I've got 15 years of data on my laptop and my external hard drive.
That's why you're supposed to get those, like, external memory things.
That's what I have, but it's here in the house.
Yeah, it's stored in a totally separate location.
Yeah, well, it was, but it's not right now. Man, 40 megabytes. Oh, wait, no, that's wrong. Catman! Police state. Welcome to the police state. Police state. You know, New World Order crap. My mom doesn't know what a police state is. Hi, Hitler! That's a police state. Catman, Catman, roly poly Catman. I'm on a Catman kick.
Get this.
You're into kicking cat.
I didn't know there was a Catman.
You're into kicking cats, man.
We're going to be having a look at the DC Universe Batman Legacy Series 2. We're going to be looking today at Catman.
Catman!
Yeah, we're idiots.
I really was never expecting to find her released in the DC Universe. Luckily, we've now got Catman released as part of the Batman Legacy line. Here includes an exclusive comic book poster. It also appears to have some claws going on in there as well. Can't wait to get this guy out of the package. Speaking of package, we've got the Batman logo at the top with a nice Batman cityscape, the Gotham City cityscape. On the side, there's a picture of Catman. On the back, celebrate the legacy of Batman with these other two figures released in Series 2. We've got the Golden Age Batman. We've also got a Silver Age Batgirl.
Batgirl! Now we just need a Catgirl.
Again.
Oh, we got Catwoman.
Tracker Thief. The thrill of big game hunting becomes too boring. One-time millionaire and spendthrift Thomas Blake takes to a life of crime. He uses his skills as a hunter and tracker to become a notorious burglar known early on for lifting valuable art and jewels, wearing a cat costume made from an ancient cloth believed to grant his wearer 9 lives. Catman carries an array of weapons on a utility belt similar to his heroic foil and inspiration Batman. Later, Catman becomes a member of the immoral, villainous unit known as Secret Six, taking part in a variety of dastardly crimes. And that, in a nutshell, my friends, is Catman.
Catman!
What we're going to do is we're going to get this package open up. We're going to have a look at the villain of Catman. Stay tuned, guys. There's more on the way. Don't go anywhere.
Don't go anywhere.
And the first thing we'll look at is the poster that comes with Catman. Yeah, open it up here. A picture of Catman facing Batman.
Holy cat, Chris Batman!
Poster. No issue, no nothing. Just a poster of Batman and Catman.
Batman, Catman!
Not as interesting, I would say, as the posters that came with both the Golden Age and Batman and the Silver Age Batgirl. But, just a poster. I probably will not likely put them up anyways. So, there you go. Other accessories that come with Catman is a Silver Age stand. The Silver Age Batman Legacy stand says Catman in the front there. I kind of wish that they would change out this logo. I know they just, it's Mattel, I know they just want to reuse the same molds, but I'm kind of done really with the 89 Batman logo as the staple for Batman logos. Anybody else? I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I find they really use this logo to death. Versus, there are so many other cooler Batman logos out there. I'd almost just be happy with the logo that's just the, you know, the, I guess the Golden Age logo. But the stand, am I really going to find too many faults with a stand on? He does come with a stand. Put that down. Catman also comes with...
Okay, enough of that. Next.
Next.
I thought there was going to be more cool Catman stuff, but I guess I was wrong. Where's the cool Catman stuff?
No.
There might be one. Hang on. Loading, loading, loading the web page or YouTube. I got one dislike.
Yeah.
Yeah, it probably sucks.
Who are you? I'm Ant-Man. Yeah, you may have all these famous superheroes that save actual humans.
Oh yeah, it sucks. No wonder got one dislike. Alright, next. Batman versus Catman Legos. Okay, there's nothing cool about... I mean, there's nothing cool on Catman, except for that video game. That was it. That was the only cool thing. Oh, wait a minute. Very Odd Parents have a Catman video.
No good.
Actually, it is. It's like a Batman and Catman video. Hang on. I'm actually, oh, what the hell? I thought it might be on YouTube. It's not. It's on a different site. And it's not going to let me see it. They talk.
It was just a catnap.
Here we go.
I have a crazy idea. Why not pretend to be a kid again?
To the arcade.
But ditching school is wrong.
Who cares?
Well, never thought of it that way. No lines for the game? Isn't it seven or what?
Nope. If this were seven, there'd be streets paved with catnip. You can flirt all you want and never get slapped. Call me. I could do this forever.
Adam, there's more to being a kid than skipping.
Okay.
Yeah, that's perfectly bizarre.
Cat girl? This is just previews. You can't actually watch them this way. All right, well. Hey, wait a minute.
You must have as many lives as these cats. What's your game, Catman?
Oh, okay, it's a game. Wow, we need more Catman videos. Hey, look, here's Catman and Catwoman.
Wow.
I know.
Such incredible power. With one shiny rock, we were able to bring an entire city to dream up a more perfect specimen of man than the one and only Catman.
Oh, I can think of one. I have got.
You won't be so lucky this time! I'll protect you, Catwoman! Stay away from her!
Interesting. I'm going to get that game.
Really?
We need to get a Wii, Mom! We need to get a Wii!
You need to go wee-wee.
I already did that.
Your Catman.
The Catman game is on Wii.
You need to go Wii?
Wii, 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 all the way home. Yeah, there's no way I'm getting a woman now because I live with my mom.
That funny woman master. Tell my mom lives with me.
had to throw that in there. It was funny.
We threw in a camper in the back of the property so nobody'd see her.
Right.
Actually, your mom's probably the only way you're going to meet a girl.
My mom what?
Your mom's probably the only way by which you're going to meet a decent girl.
Nah.
I heard her giggle in the background when she heard that.
Yeah.
She can't tell me she's not listening to the podcast.
This is kind of cool. Watch this.
Really? I was a cat? Like a little house cat?
The diamond has the power to bring feline-related artifacts to life and turn humans into cats. Who knows what else it's capable of?
And was I cute?
I was able to develop an antidote. It won't prevent us from being...
Was I cute?
But it should reverse the effects of the diamond within a few seconds.
So why are we at the zoo?
I found particles in my cable to trace back to a particular concrete here.
I guess all the empty cages are a clue too, huh?
Yes, my furry feline friends, your day has finally come. Soon the whole city will be your musical.
The only thing you'll be lapping up is a hot bowl of justice, Captain.
Huh. What do you know? It was him.
The dynamic duo. I thought I dealt with you back at the museum. You must have as many lives as these cats.
What's your game, Catman?
Oh, I'm purely in it for the kitties. They've been enslaved by humanity far too long, forced to sleep on couches and squat in litter boxes.
They like couches.
It's time they take their city back. Of course, if the resulting chaos allows me to loot the city for a few million dollars, even better.
Big surprise. It always comes down to money with you.
It does make the world go round, Batman. But I'm afraid this is the last stop for you and your chirpy companion.
That's supposed to be a Robin joke?
It's time for a feeding, my curious companions. Sharpen those teeth. We're dining on heroes tonight.
You turn it back into a cat.
Okay.
Robin's a cat again.
What are you doing? Back up! Get off me!
Was I cute?
Oh, so is Batman.
Time to retreat to higher ground. Time to kick things up a notch. First a Robin, now a house cat. I told you, get off me!
They're still attacking you, you're another cat. Yeah, Batman turned into Batman for a minute. Yeah. The Wii game. We're going to need to clean the living room so we can play Wii.
Maybe it's in the other room anyway, but I got to get some stuff.
Thank you.
Molly Iron.
Boy, whoever thought a ball of yarn could be so deadly?
There are no other buildings adjacent to this one.
It's time to review our mystery cat burglar. A cat helicopter? Where do they buy these things?
Robin, look out! Hold on, Robin, I've got you.
Okay, that's when Robin got turned into a cat.
Was that cute?
Yeah!
Boy, something just came down on my head. How long have we been out?
2 hours.
Sick of climbing pipes.
Not so fast.
Okay, here we go.
Listen, I hate the sewer. Smells like my toilet down here, and I never clean my toilet.
Relax. The boss just wants us to make sure Batman and Bird Boy didn't survive the explosion.
He saw that thing. The only ones crawling out of that wreckage are the cockroaches.
You sure about that?
Get them!
Okay, never mind. That wasn't that cool.
You're watching it, but we're only listening.
Hang on.
Who's that?
Officer Rigdol. It looks like he's been knocked unconscious. Yeah, well, look, we can use my antidote to reverse the effects of the diamond on Gotham citizens.
Let's hope we live that long.
Of us?
Oh, yeah. Tons of cash. Once the bosses have finished taking off the diamond, huh?
Should we take them out?
Okay. I'm bored. Anyways, yeah. It'd probably be more fun playing the game than, I don't know. I'm actually looking forward to a Catman movie.
Yeah.
Bow, bow, bow. Ain't no cats on me. Ain't no. Might be cats on some of you bats. Ain't no cats on me.
It might be cats on some of you bats. Okay.
Okay. So, we've been doing our DD&D podcast, Demented Dungeons and Dragons.com for 3 hours.
A couple of idiots.
3 hours.
Yay.
Yeah, I think it's time to call it quits. Any last words?
Probably not, but, you know. Good night?
Yeah. All right, you can find our hours on DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com. We meet now every Saturday night at 8 p.m. Central Daylight Time and 7 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Hey, what happened to that caller we were supposed to have today?
Actually, I was just hoping he would might maybe call, but he might be listening.
Yeah, or he might listen.
Yeah. He's definitely like-minded.
Remember, we are not man animals.
Meow.
This is only for men made in God's image. All you animals.
Meow.
Made in Uncle Sam's image. This show's not for you. Good night.
Meow. Batman.
I mean Catman. So long, farewell, adios, and goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.